as it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So the day after the completion of Grand Theft SCOTUS, it's now complete. It's over. Judge Gorsuch is now sitting on the Supreme Court, sworn in, all that stuff. Going to have to open the doors and get the coffee and that stuff, yes. But ultimately going to be sitting on our Supreme Court and making decisions. And look, at the end of it, give the Republicans credit. They rammed through their most extreme choice, and they did it in such a way that nobody really had a chance to ask questions or really dig. Understand, we went for almost an entire year without a Supreme Court justice, and in just 2 months, they rammed this guy through. It is what they've wanted. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about, you know, what does this guy mean for education? And had this hearing gone on longer, and you actually had the opportunity to question about, well, a case that he really got slapped in the face over. What could have happened? That's why I've asked John Feiger to come talk with us, former education columnist there at the New York Daily News, also Emmy Award winning investigated producer reporter with ABC News, also a parent and leader in the New York City school area. John, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, good, Rick. Good to be with you, Rick.
So, you know, I look at this and we completed it. Grand Theft SCOTUS, he's on the bench. How bad can this guy be?
He's the worst. He's a monster. And who says that? I say that, but who else says that? The Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, John Roberts, wrote an opinion on March 22nd, less than a month ago, where he took Gorsuch's standards for what disabled children are entitled to in terms of an education. And Gorsuch made the standard so low, so de minimis, so barely anything, that here's what Chief Justice Roberts said quickly. When all is said and done, a student offered an education program providing merely more than de minimis, meaning more than nothing. That the progress from year to year can hardly be said to have offered an education at all. And last sentence, for children with disabilities, receiving instruction that aims so low would be tantamount to sitting idly awaiting the time when they were old enough to drop out. Those are the words of Chief Justice Roberts, hardly a flaming radical, a conservative justice himself. So, how did a guy with this kind of record, and unfortunately it came so late, and then, as Rick said, the Republicans just kind of pushed it through. But Gorsuch also had a problem with telling the truth under oath, just like Jeff Sessions, our attorney general, who lied about his connection with the Russians. Well, Gorsuch had the same problem with his standard. He said, I'm just following what the courts in my district and the country have done before. Well, it turned out that's not true. It turned out he changed the standard, made it weaker, so weak that Chief Justice Roberts and 8-0 on the court. Clarence Thomas disagrees with Gorsuch.
Wow.
So if you can imagine, Gorsuch is to the right of Clarence Thomas and Sam Alito, which means he is way off the political range there.
Right. So then why couldn't this guy be stopped? Because, you know, I heard this argument from even my Democratic friends that the Democrats shouldn't have filibustered because he was, you know, Gorsuch was a likable guy. He's well educated. He's qualified because he was sitting on the court. All of these things, and that we shouldn't have filibustered him because he's not crazy. But I'm listening to you and I'm going, this sounds kind of crazy to me.
Trump. Trump likes central casting, right? I think he said that about a number of people and things like Tillerson, the Secretary of State. Gorsuch, you look at him, and he looks like Spencer Tracy. He looks like a Supreme Court justice. So what's not to like if you're into brand? He's got the brand. Went to Harvard Law School and clerked for a Supreme Court justice. He's got the whole brand down. The problem is, what's inside the brand? What's inside the body, the heart, the soul? Well, it's a monster in there, and he's going to hurt a lot of average Americans, including a lot of Trump voters, just like when Trump was going to do away with Obamacare. That was going to push 26 million people out of having health care. And many of those people were Trump voters. So Gorsuch is part of Trump's whole thing about he doesn't care about hurting the little people. He said he's going to clean up the swamp. He's brought more swamp creatures into Washington than anybody ever has. And Gorsuch is the new addition to the swamp, the new creature there to screw the average American and to help corporations and big business. And I think the another important thing is, how do we stop this? We have been on a roll. People like Bats, and by the way, hello, Bats people. I love what you stand for. I was a teacher for a while, and you're part of the answer. The front page of the New York Times today, Monday, has an article about groups that have fought, like, for Obamacare, for keeping it, and how do we keep on a roll? How do we not lose another battle like Gorsuch? And one of the key things that happened with Gorsuch was the Republicans just rushed it, and we probably couldn't do anything about that. But the other thing is a major nationwide advocacy organization for disabled people with 700 chapters in every state and in local areas around the country, they did not oppose Gorsuch. They one of their leaders was quoted as saying, well, we hope that in the future, he's going to rule more in favor of disabled people.
Okay. Well, in the future,
anybody believes that, you know, I got a bridge. I can practically see it from where I am in Manhattan right now.
Yeah, what's that? What's that saying? Wish in one hand? sounds like that.
We've got to learn those lessons. We got to keep fighting. We got to keep organizing. And to me, two of the key groups in this country are parents and teachers. And teachers with BATS has great politics, and you're organized. And parents are starting to get their act together. In New York State, we had 240,000 kids opting out of testing 2 years in a row, and we're probably going to do it again this year.
Good stuff.
That's a grassroots army in New York State that makes our governor, Andrew Cuomo, he fears the organization. And that's what BATS needs to do. And one of the ways to do it, I talked to Marla Kefoyle, your executive director. I said, Margaret, you got an office or you got any staff? And she said, well, I got a lot of volunteers who help me. But in the meantime, she's a mother with young, you know, kids still at home. She's a teacher, full-time teacher, and she's the executive director of BATS. I said, Margaret, you got to get you and the BATS out of your basement. That's where her office is. That's where your office is, BATS. And that's something you guys need to work on. I mean, what if everybody, the 80, 100,000 people who are BATS who, participate and get newsletters and whatever, what if everybody sent in $10, sent in a check? You guys could create an organization that would really have some political power. I understand you're a 501c4 as opposed to a 3. 3 means you can't get involved in politics. You can do nice things, but, nice nonprofit things. But you can't get into politics. But you guys are organized as a 501c4, which means you can do politics. So I'm more excited about, more hopeful about education, public education in this country, even with Betsy DeVos, who's the worst of the worst. Maybe you read my piece I did for the BATS newsletter about 6 weeks ago. She's terrible. She's horrific. She's gorsh. Gorsuch.
Oh, no, absolutely. But here again, you have this corporate mindset that, children aren't really about education. They're about dollar signs.
Well, that's it. Corporations, their first and only goal, their main goal is make money, make a profit. And their second one is make more profits. And so when you start talking about look what happened. They want to bring them in, Trump and DeVos want to bring in for-profit people into the public schools. Well, hey, take a look at what happened in higher education. Take a look at how the public got ripped off. Kids who wanted to, they sold them the American dream. Even Trump, of course, had his own university where he was screwing kids and screwing the taxpayers because we pick up when the kids don't pay off their loans, their debt. And they've been sold a bill of goods that, you know, they're going to have the American dream because they're going to get all this great stuff from Trump U or Corinthian or all the other for-profit schools that just are, they're total ripoffs.
And they're bilking the taxpayer now, because they're getting a ton of money through the GI Bill. I mean, that's the real shame in all this, because the federal dollars are going overwhelmingly to these for-profit schools that are just ripping these soldiers off.
They're ripping soldiers off, and they're ripping a lot of just regular kids off who didn't do well in school for whatever reason and are looking for a second chance. And don't we believe in second chances in this country? And, you know, they're just desperate. They don't have a life, and they know they need a college degree to have a better chance to have a life. Mm-hmm. And so they hire salesmen, not teachers, not educators. They hire tons of salesmen to go out and just, you know, dangle the American dream in front of these kids, and then they get them to sign up for the Pell Grants and the federal financing. So it's not only the GI Bill, but it's also the regular funding and the regular loans that the kids can get from the federal government. And then the kids learn nothing. Then, of course, they can't get a job. They can't pay off their bills. So they forfeit on the loans. And guess who picks up the tab? The multi-million dollar tab every year is we, the taxpayers, because we are, you know, we're the federal government. We pay our taxes to the federal government, and they have, and so when there's a loss there, comes out of our, it's us, it's our money that's being lost.
No, I'm right there with you. But here's the thing: you come back to, you know, how do you stop this? And the example you gave a moment ago about the role of all of these organizations coming together, and I'll be honest with you, I was surprised that you didn't see the disabled community rallying, you know, just to stop the Gorsuch nomination. Although, I mean, I think most people were like me. There's no stopping it because the Republicans were going to break the rules. They were going to blow up the Senate. They were going to use the nuclear option. Regardless, they were going to do it. This is their guy. It's who they wanted, and it's who they were going to get. Rules be damned. We the people be damned. It's what they were going to do.
Well, I would agree with you, except for one thing. You would have said the same thing about Obamacare. They're going to get rid of Obamacare. They've been talking about it for 7 years. It's been one of their main campaign points. Trump has said he's going to do it. Paul Ryan, they've all said it for 7 years. They've voted to do it, I think, something like 39 times during the last 8 years.
No, like 69 times.
Obamacare.
No, like 69 times. Incredible. I mean, they were voting on it all the time.
Right. So. You know, people would say, oh, there's no way to stop them from undoing Obamacare. They could just undo it. They undid it before. And all of a sudden, the grassroots came out. Ordinary people, Trump voters people, came out. And every time a congressman went home for recess, they'd be hit by these people who are their voters, by the way. And the election, you know, when you're in Congress, it's only a year and a half away. It's next November. And there may be primaries before that. So you can't take you can't start out with the attitude that, well, it's their guy and they were going to do everything and they were going to break the rule and blah, blah, blah. We still have some elements of democracy left in this country, and we better hang on to them and we better use them. And Bats is a perfect example. Bats, you got the numbers and you got the political attitudes that are right. But what you got to do is you got to get a more of an organization. You cannot have a teacher mother in the basement with 20 or 30 or 40 or other volunteers helping out, running an organization that's going to have some real power. So what is $10, you know, what one shot, $10 with 100,000 members, I think that's $1 million.
Yeah, I'm all in favor of it. I think the BAT members should be chucking in a couple of bucks to hire an executive producer or an executive director who does this full time and a staff and all of that stuff. Because, look, at the end of it, we need these kind of organizations, especially when you're talking about education. Because, you know, as I've said probably a million times on this show, John, education in this country is the hill the working class has to die on. They take education away from us. It's over. It is over. We're back, you know, at the whim and the will of the 1% of the billionaire class, and there's no way forward.
Right. Well, they've already, in a way, been in charge. The last 15 years have been a disaster, and I include the Obama administration and the Bush administration. No Child Left Behind got it all going. It empowered the federal government, and it created the standardized testing. And then along comes Obama, and he plucks Arne Duncan out of Chicago, who actually failed in Chicago. And he had this whole corporate agenda, and it was actually No Child Left Behind on steroids. Obama and Duncan were actually worse than George Bush, which is incredible. And now we have Trump, who's even worse than both of them. So the only way to stop that is we still have an element of democracy. I mean, we did prevent Obamacare from being done away with,
and that's
because of a grassroots power.
Yep.
And that's what we need. And parents are getting their act together, especially in New York State. We have around the state grassroots organizations that have come together into a statewide organization. I mean, there's a mother out on Long Island who noticed her son was just depressed every time he went to school, and he started crying about going to school. And she said, "What's going on? What's the matter?" So she went into the school, and all she heard people talking about at the school was testing, testing, testing. So she created a 20,000-member Long Island opt-out, and they are a political power. And then other areas of the state, not just suburbs, upstate. But unfortunately, in New York City, Bill de Blasio, the, quote, progressive mayor, and his chancellor, the head of the school system, they're all in favor of the testing. And we've been trying to fight that, but it's been hard. They've been threatening teachers. They've been threatening principals. And you better toe the line. And if your school has a lot of opting out, that's not going to be good for you and your career. So, but if you have numbers and if you have voters, then you go, you know, then Bill de Blasio, it got through to Governor Cuomo, our governor. He saw he saw what this meant. When you had suburban mothers leading the anti-testing thing, all of a sudden Cuomo wasn't saying the kind of stuff he was saying before, charter schools and public education's monopoly, we got to get rid of it. He was saying stuff like that. All of a sudden, you didn't hear him say stuff like that. All of a sudden, you heard him being anti-Common Core, and he set up actually a decent commission that wrote a decent report to do something about the Common Core in New York State, especially the weakest part of it is in early childhood education, where the standards are absolutely not developmentally appropriate. But it's still an uphill battle because of the swamp up in Albany.
We all got swamps
in every one of our states, including Washington.
Right.
And it's fighting the swamp.
You're absolutely right. And at the end of the day, it's going to take parents, teachers. It's going to take we the people stepping forward. And look, I know a lot of my Democratic friends think they lost the Supreme Court seat. I got to be honest. I think the fact that you got as many Democrats to stand up and be counted, I think that was still a win because you got them to fight. And that's the beginning of it. You've got to get them feeling that there are people behind them and push them into the fight, not just allow them to hold your coat, but actually get out there and take a couple of swings.
Right, and when we lose the battle, we better learn from that. And what I learned from this one, because I really got into it when I was researching the piece I wrote for the Bats and also for the Washington Post, and it was that I think the crucial thing, the biggest problem that I saw was that that organization with 700 chapters, organized chapters in states and local areas around the country. When they did not oppose Gorsuch, and when they said, "Well, we hope he votes better when he's on the court," oh, for God's sakes! If you think that, you know, give up, go to Florida and play golf or something like that.
You can go play with Donald Trump. There you go, John.
Yeah, right.
John, I appreciate you taking time for us. Great articles. We'll make sure we get links at thericksmithshow.com so people can take a look at your writing. I appreciate it. I'd like to talk to you again at some point in the near future.
Okay. I enjoyed it, Rick.
Good stuff. Thanks so much, John Fager.
Bats, you got to do it. You're crucial. You're a crucial piece of fighting this whole thing.
There you go.
And you got to get the organization together to help Marla.
All right.
Okay.
Good stuff. Final words, John. Thanks so much. John Fager, again, former education columnist with the New York Daily News. Again, we'll get links at thericksmithshow.com, how you can check out his writing. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. Listen to The Rick Smith Show. For working people, come to talk.
I see them blue. And I say to myself, oh,
Yes, it is all about the children, even after they're born. Rick Smith.